one of the greatest religious teachers of truth, basic truth in the world, Master Kirpal Singh. No song. Sit down.
So if any person who's left out, if they want to come forward, they can come down here just for the new people. And I think many are standing, they may kindly sit down if possible.
Dear brothers and sisters, yesterday, last night, we were talking about God, and we came to the conclusion that nobody has seen God at any time. Which God? God Absolute, who was wordless, nameless, that God which did not come to expression, that nobody has seen, nobody can see, that is only just reposing into Him. Of course we can see God when He wanted to be many, there was vibration, and that vibration resulted in two things, light and sound. So that God into expression power is called word, naam, shabd, kalma, and so many other names. So that God into expression power called word, naam, that is the cause of the creation of all universe. So that has got two aspects. God is light and God is musical sphere. We can see the God into expression power, the two aspects of which are light and sound. Now the point remains, who can see that God into expression power? Krishna says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light on my path. Guru Nanak says, when you come in contact with Naam, you become luminous, you see the luminosity comparing to thousands of suns rising together. Mohammedan saint says, God is light, Khuda Noor. So we can see the two aspects of God, two expression power, not God absolute mind. Now, who can see that God is the creating power of all the universe, He is the maker of all universe, He is the controlling of all universe, He is permeating all universe. So God resides in every heart. Again, to differentiate which God, God into expression. And that was light. And about that light, it is said, take heed that the light which is within you is not darkness. That light is within each one of us. So the point is, who can see that God into expression power, the light of God, and the music of the sphere, Nada, Kalame Kadi. God resides in every heart, but where He is manifest, He is made word, made flesh. Such a person can withdraw the attention, which is the outward expression of the soul, from all outside and from the body below, take it to the seat of the soul at the back of the eyes. There, The single eye opens. There the third eye is open. There Shiv Netra, the latent eye, Div Chikshu is open. With that you can see God, light of God. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Now I submitted, who can let us see that light? Christ said, I have come to make those people see who do not see. And those who see, they may be blind. World Guru also means the same thing, who can remove the curtain of darkness from before you and make the light manifest. So such like persons are sent by God from time to time to guide the child humanity. Ever since we are separated from God, we have not yet gone back to our home. We are so much entangled and identified with the meshes of the world that we have forgotten also. So Master come, they make men see the God into His special power. It is said when man was sent out to the world, seals were put on the eyes and the ears, so that they may not see that light within them and they hear that nada, the music of the spheres reverberating in all creation. So God, when He finds His children very unhappy in the misery, He sends such men who break those seals on the eyes, they begin to see. Who breaks the seals on the ears, they begin to hear. Before that, in the terminology of the saints, they are blind and deaf. When they go to such a person, they begin to see and begin to hear. Christ said, what you see, the old prophets could not see. What you hear, old prophets could not hear. Oh, if you want to see God, you see, where the world philosophies end, there the religion starts. So, there's required somebody, teacher is required everywhere. Child is born, his parents, brothers are teachers, in school they are teachers. In all outward pursuits, somebody is met. Expert in that line is required to guide us, teach us. All these subjects relate to the outward faculties, mind and intellect. And this is such a subject where all philosophies, good philosophies end. When you rise above body consciousness, there which is stars. Could you have dreamed that such a person not required who sees that and make a scene? Call him by any name you like. So Maharaj said, if you want to pay visit to the place of pilgrimage, it is best you take somebody who has already been to the place of pilgrimage. Who can be that? He says, maybe Hindu, maybe Turk, maybe Arab. There is no question who is he, what labels he is carrying. One denomination answers to that, makes no difference. Who has seen, who has been to that place, taken by him. So we need somebody who can help us here. In what way? Our souls are identified. The outward expression of the soul is called attention. Attention identified with the body and outgoing faculties and the world outside, so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. We cannot differentiate ourselves. All masters said how to come out of this delusion, you know thyself. This is the real thing was given yesterday, I'm briefing you all by. And how to know oneself? Generally we see at the level of the feelings, our emotions, our dying inferences, they're all subject to error. Seeing is above all. So Master says, first see and then say. In their terminology, they say all are blind. Very sweeping remark, of course. All are deaf. Kabir says, had there been one or two, I could have made them understand. Wherever see, all are sitting blind. Blind is one. Not that who have got no eyes on the forehead, but is one whose inner eye, third eye, single eye is not open to see the light of God, whose inner ears are not open to hear the voice of God. Such a person is called a master, the terminology of the saint. So we need somebody who has seen, make us see. As Christ has come to make those see who do not see. In Gita, you see, fourth chapter you will find, if you want to meet God, meet somebody who has seen God, who can make you see God. Guru Nanak was asked, you say God is everywhere. Have you seen it? Yes. With what eyes? Because those eyes are different. Those eyes are not of the flesh and bones. They are other eyes, other than his eyes. Christ says, thine eye be single. The single eye is not the outer eye. That is open when our attention is withdrawn from all outside and collected at the seat of the soul, at the back of the eyes. There single eye open, deep secret open, not before. So they come, they say what they say. They say there's God. One God. That detail was given yesterday on to brief it. He's eternal, he's got no equal, he was born of his own self. Then Guru Nanak says, well, why we call him one? Because he is not one. The question once becomes one, that question will become two. This one stands for some other thing which is beyond this one. Sadguru Nidaya Kika. If you meet some master, he will give you what you say. Inner experience of that which is beyond one. The Guru Arjan was asked, why you say one? He says, because we are finite. God is infinite. Because we are finite, we have to use our finite terms to express him as one. He's neither one nor two. Kabir also says the same thing. If we say he's one, then the question of two arises. The question of two arises, there's duality. So he's not all in all. So we want such a one person, name him as it is like, who has the competency first to weigh up, to rise above body consciousness, open the inner eye, the third eye, or the single eye, to see the light of God. Who can open our inner ears to hear the kirtan of God, music of the spheres. And that music and outer music, they are different things, mind that. Outer music takes you to the very Vajrasi matter, not beyond. Inner music starts when you rise above matter. Bhai Gurdas says, this music of the spheres you hear when you rise up physical body, not before. There was difference between the two. This can take you to the very verge of matter, and that will start beyond matter that takes you to the very source from where it emanated, to the absolute God. So Master says, look here, we're all lovers. devotees of some higher power called by so many names. Thousands of lovers there are, but the beloved is one for all. God. Call him by any name you like. We may be belonging to different religions, schools of thought, but ultimate what is our ideal before me, us, to know God. And to know God, we must know ourselves first, because it is the soul who can know God. God cannot be seen by the outward faculties, mind and intellect. It is soul alone that can know God, like knows it, like. Soul is of the same essence as that of God. Unless we know ourselves by self-analysis, by rising above body consciousness, we can know God. Strange enough, in the man body, the true temple of God, body works as long as we are in the body. There are so many doors open, the eyes, nostrils, mouth, ears. We cannot run away out of it. Some power is controlling us in the body. That controlling power is the God into spiritual power, which controls our keys. So say belong, you may belong anywhere. In any religion, any school of thought, the thought is there, one higher power working, called by one. And in a name. So thousands of lovers are there, but the beloved is one for all. He whom we desire is the beloved of the whole world. And the one God of all men. Not specifically for one reason, religion or other. When he comes, he is the monopoly of not of any sect. He is God of all. Call the by any name if you like. So God is one for man, for all creation, and all the devotees have the desire to meet that very same one. So those who really desire him are, you see, actually his true relatives. And the person who tells us about him is truly our brother and our true friend. That is why Guru Nanak says, masters unite us in such a relation which can never be broken in the world and the world hereafter. Satcha sakma tutte guru mele. So within each master soul is great devotion for his guru. So yesterday that subject was there, today we have to consider, well, devotion to the masters and what they give. This is the subject today. So you'll find in the histories of the masters, they were very much devoted to their gurus. Christ gives us an outward example of a tree, fruit-laden tree. He says, the branches, so long as they are embedded in the tree, they bear forth fruit. If they are cut out from the tree, they cannot bear forth fruit. And he says, what? I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You follow? The devotee cannot do without the guru. It means that as long as one is not truly joined to the one guru, one cannot be his devotee, and furthermore, cannot become a true devotee of the Lord. Mala Rum says, God has ordered, but I am so great that all the universes I have created, high and below, they all are not sufficient to contain me. But strange enough, I reside, I contain myself in a world made flesh. You find, try to find me, go there. There you'll find I'm there. So Guru precedes God. For we have not yet seen God. And we must become as subtle and as fine as He is to be able to do so. Each man views life from his own level. Now take the example. In the air there is nothing, appears to be nothing. Is there nothing in the air? But there is something which is not up to our level of the eyes. Either our eyes become so subtle as the air is, or whatever in the air so become magnified to come up to the level of our eyes, then we see. To see through the microscope. That magnifies 700 times greater. When you look through it, you see full of all microbes. Which now they are hard, but we do not see. Why we do not see? Unless you rise as above as he is, or as subtle as he is, as fine as he is, we cannot see. The master's job is what? To withdraw ourselves from the physical body and make us subtle, rise above, in which we, that eyes open, we see. So, if we see through a microscope, we can see atmosphere full of tiny microbes. The eye has not developed the ability to perceive those subtle expressions of life. That is why Guru Nanak says, and you rise above as he is, only then you can see. So if man is not as high as God, then what is his first step? God precedes, Guru precedes God. And for God manifests in the Guru. That is different. He resides in every heart. But where he manifests, his word made flesh. And from man's level, he therefore comes before God. He is God plus man. Or God man, or man in God. If a disciple truly becomes a guru man, he also becomes a God man. That will become a guru man. So unless one sees, how can one meditate upon it? Bin dekhe kaise ko dhyan? Whom we have not seen, how can we meditate on him? How can a person put all his attention on that which he has not seen? You follow me? Fine. So firstly, devotion to the Guru is very necessary. Now question, what is Guru? Guru is not the body, mind that. Guru is not the body. Guru Nanak was asked, who is your Guru? He says, Shabad is my Guru. My soul is a disciple. Kabir says, who is your Guru? Where does he reside? He says he resides into the heavens, high above. He is in the heavens, rise above body consciousness, I am in the body. So, God into expression power is the Guru. Word made flesh is the Guru. We respect the body, we manifest. In all of us he resides, but they are not manifest. In whom is manifest, the only criterion is he will give you raise you up so high that your inner eye, a single eye open, you begin to see light. That's the only criterion. Propaganda goes on like anything, but the true criterion of a guru or a saint is one who can withdraw your attention from all outside, withdraw from the body below, and open the inner eyes, you testify that there is light here. So that is what Master said, don't believe in the words of the Guru if you do not see for your own self what is it. So Guru is not the body, Guru is that power which is manifesting upon a human person. And as such, is never bought. That's the Christ power, God power, Guru power, Master power. Never dies. All Masters have taken up the body and then left it. And we must do also the same thing. So the power which works through the physical form never dies. This is a misunderstanding going around the world. We do respect that human pole in which it manifests. Had he not been there, how could he have risen as subtle as I as he? So his job is first to withdraw our attention from all outside, raise up to the eye level, and then open the inner eye. You see for yourself, yes, there is light. So Brahm speaks through the body. Without body, what can Brahm say? Brahm bole kaya ke bole, kaya mit Brahm kya ke. But the pole to which he is manifesting is also God. We respect him as the Guru. But that person who is his master or Guru, he never says, I'm the Guru. He says, my Guru. That power is the Guru. He is conscious of that power working through him. Because he is manifesting there. So devotion must necessarily start with the body, we see. This is the first step. And further, now you see, eyes are the windows of the soul. Eyes are the windows of the soul. And soul, in whatever color it is, dyed. That very thing is radiating through the eyes. And further, when you come in contact with some person like that, you look into eyes. When two eyes are made four, then the radiation comes twice. So further we see a glimpse of what is manifesting in his eyes. What is manifesting in his eyes? World? Is all light? Light radiates. This raises us to a higher level, and so the importance of this, of the Guru. Bhakti, our devotion to the Guru has been stressed by all Masters. You see? Whose soul is imbued with the intoxication of God. If her soul is imbued with lust, excuse me, then you'll have lust ready. Who is pure, purity, personified. Only such things will come to him. When we sat our master's feet, we used to bow down to the feet of the master. He said, what is lying there? Look up, what I'm up. So we always look into the eyes of the master, where the radiation comes. So Christ, you see, taught the same thing. He said, I am the vine, thou art the branches. As long as the branches are bedded in the vine, that will bear for apple fruit. If not, they cannot bear for fruit. So they say you cannot do without me. This is what he said.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. This morning our reader is Tanya Franklin. Are you there, Tanya?
Yes, I am, John. Thank you.
Okay, go ahead.
We begin with an invocation to our beloved Master. We are gathered together to imbibe the wondrous love and blessings of our Most High, Sant Kirpal Singh Ji Maharaj, Gurudev. I will continue with the reading from Master's book, The Teachings of Kirpal Singh, on page 138. Master is giving instruction to a spiritual aspirant on inaccuracies in meditation and how to overcome them. Let the Master power that is constantly with you, working over your head, bless and grant what it considers best. You should have pleasure on your part and leave the results to the Master overhead. So what is meant by not doing the practices properly is simply another way of saying that the one-pointed concentration, precluding complete withdrawal to the eye focus, has not yet been achieved by the dear ones. You are the indweller of your own body, but are not yet its master. Your servants, the mind and five senses have usurped the throne on which your soul should sit. Until they are dispossessed and placed in their rightful place as servants, they will not allow you to withdraw and go in. The Master within, like any loving father, is eagerly awaiting the day when you shall have set your house in order. He only requires one opportunity to snatch you from the prison house of the body. And like an expert angler, once he has successfully hooked his fish, he will not allow it to escape until he has it safely in his basket. How to overcome inaccuracies in meditation? I find that despite your best efforts, you are unable to have any perceptible inner experience. For locating the discrepancy and its cause, you should please find out the following. Do not repeat the sacred charge names orally. If so, it is to be replaced through gradually and slowly to the mental repetition. It may further be explained thus. Suppose you met somebody some days earlier and had a talk with him and you want to recollect it now. You will neither use the tongue nor speak again, but mentally you will have all the conversation repeated. This is the true form of repetition or Simran. The five holy words are to be repeated mentally during meditation. Do not remain conscious of the breathing process going on in the body. If so, it is to be eliminated as the breathing process starts from the navel center and ends in the navel center. And as such, you remain in the body during your meditations. This can be done by looking sweetly and intently within, back and behind the two eyebrows, altogether oblivious of the body below or of the breathing going on in the body. You will agree that normally, while doing work all day, reading or writing, coming or going, sitting or walking, eating or drinking, or even while talking, we are never conscious of the breathing going on. Similarly, during meditations, you are not to be conscious of it. Do not feel any numbness or stiffness in your body during practice? If so, it is equally important to be eliminated as discussed above. The sensory currents from the body below are graciously withdrawn to the eye focus, not by a single-handed effort of the disciple only, but by the loving grace of the master power working overhead for proceeding within. You should not watch the withdrawal process in the body, but keep your inner gaze constantly fixed into the middle of what you see within. The practice of Simran is indeed a slow process, but when established with the grace of the Master, one reaches the eye focus without any special effort. You will agree that it is the loving devotion and the anguished cry of the soul which invokes mercy, and one gets attuned. Do you silence your thoughts during meditation? Naturally, you will say no. The silencing of the intellect is the last nail in the coffin. How it may be best eliminated is explained below. You should not have any clutching tendency to have one thing or the other. Simply sit at the door and wait. This sublime silence is best and easily achieved by lovingly and humbly reposing in the gracious Master power to grant and bless you with whatever it deems fit. That benign power is incessantly with you and is quite aware of your earnest efforts. But so long as you are conscious of your actions, you stand in your own way, and when you lovingly eliminate yourself, he will manifest himself to you in the celestial manifestation of divine light and holy sound current. It is something like inviting somebody to enter the room while blocking the doorway by standing in it. From the above, I hope you will be able to locate the fault and will be able to remove it with the grace of the Master. I quite appreciate your yearnings, but the fact remains that he, the great within, will surely bless you at the opportune moment when he considers it fit. What the Master tells you to do is not really difficult if you could but comprehend the simplicity of it. He tells you to sit in a position most comfortable to you, one in which you can sit the longest without moving, that while sitting in this position, you are to remain wide awake with your attention directed at the seat of the soul behind and between the two eyebrows, that you are to look sweetly and serenely into the middle of the darkness in front of you, repeating Simran of the five charged names, slowly and at intervals. If the dear ones were to do their spiritual practices correctly, with due regard to self-introspection, they would, as sure as two and two make four, rise above body consciousness and transcend into the beyond, where the inner master is patiently waiting to greet his children at the threshold of the astral plane. But because they are unable to do this, even for a short while, they erroneously believe their meditations to be barren of all concrete results. Dangers and pitfalls on the way. While sitting during meditation, one may forget the repetition of the five holy names. In such a case, mind and Kal, Kal the negative power, can deceive us. So to be on guard, do not leave off repetition when withdrawn or in a sitting. If the form of the master remains while during Semran, the disciple should listen to and accept the words of the Master as true. Often, if we fail to repeat the five charged words, the mind comes up before us in the form of the Master to deceive or to mislead us. When the real Master appears to the disciple, he will answer all questions asked of him. No deceptive form will remain while the disciple is doing Semran. If any reply is given to the Master in dreams, that cannot all be true. The Master's radiant form appears to the disciple while he is in a conscious state, and he stands during Semran. The negative power at times may tell us things, but does not stand before the five names. He may pretend to be our Master. Such words must not be relied upon. When the soul withdraws, it traverses with the astral body into higher regions and sees figures. At that time, you should repeat the five names. The figures will disappear. Only such persons will stand before you as those from the fifth plane. And from these, you will derive some benefit. Soul traverses here and there and sees many events which are transpiring elsewhere. But we should not waste our time in engaging ourselves in such things, as that will retard our spiritual progress. If you are regular in putting time into the spiritual practices, you will go ahead and surely meet the Master within, face to face. As regards vision, when you rise above body consciousness, you may see visions in the astral planes. Do not engage in looking at them, but repeat the five names. Sometimes you may see lions and snakes appear. These are not forms of the Master of Love. A snake at times represents the mind. So do not pay any heed to it. It will not harm you. Sometimes the five passions, lust, anger, greed, attachment, and ego, leave us in the form of a lion or little children. These things cannot retard the progress of a soul who is doing Semran of the five holy names. As regards voices coming to you, you should pay no heed to them. Please ask the one concerned to appear to talk to you. And if he turns up, repeat the five names. If he stands before repetition, only then listen to his voice. Generally, these voices come from the negative and should not be given any attention. To cross the mental world is not so easy as it may seem to the untrained in the mysteries of the beyond. It is the most delusive world, where even the Mahatmas and the Rishis, with all their learning and tapas, fail to hold on to their own ground. What is there in that vast universe of the three worlds which Brahman would not like to offer to these earnest souls who try to escape through his domains and reach the true home of their father? At every step, be it in the physical world, the astral, or the mental, he tries to block the way of the aspiring souls, the great prophets and messiahs, and all others have given their experiences of the fierce encounters that they had with Satan, Mara, Ariman, the evil spirit, Asuras, demons, and their agents in countless ways, fair or foul, whereby they try to obstruct the way to win over the seekers after truth by assurances of worldly kingdoms and principalities. And if they do not succumb to these temptations, then by threats of violence, by fire, thunder, earthquakes, heaven splittings, cloud bursts, lightnings, and what have you. It is in predicaments like these that one can only stand these trials when one has by his side his guru or murshid. For the guru power then draws and absorbs the disciple's soul into himself and takes him along the path of ringing radiance. For each soul, the Brahman stalks his all and does not yield unless he is convinced that the seeker clings to the protection of the master power, Akal, or timeless. Please do not bother about the negative powers, and instead dwell more on the divine protection of the master power by keeping yourself immersed in the loving remembrance of the master. Love coupled with inner humility and self-effacement surmounts all such impediments whatsoever. Dry spells. I am glad to find that you are devoting some time for your holy meditations with the grace of the Master. The casual spells of dryness or fatigue feelings do intervene as a result of reaction of past karma when the child disciple should muster more of courage and determination in sticking to the sacred schedule or regularity. It may be pointed out for your information that during such periods, the loving protection of the Master becomes more strong as you have felt with His grace. The holy meditations, when undertaken in a spirit of dedication to the Master, become more fruitful with His grace. Your earnest prayer for having regularity is appreciated. You should stick to your resolution carefully, irrespective of mind's protests. You will succeed with His grace. Please note that the mind relishes the grooves of habit, having formed out of its indulgence in acts of repetitive nature through the senses. You are to change its attitude from downward to upward, and all else will come of itself. You are to lay the line track carefully, and the powerful engine will run on it with the same speed and velocity. Let your mind be attuned to the holy feet of the Master, the Supreme Guide, and try your level best to abide by His holy commandments. The intervening dry spells in meditation, which the spiritual aspirant finds, sometimes are a blessing in disguise when the inner devotion is fostered on a higher step. You need not worry about it, but instead be earnestly devoted to your holy meditations with renewed zeal and vigor. The gracious Master Power will be extending all feasible help, grace, and protection. Man is so constituted that he cannot for long remain at one level. He either progresses or slips back. You may judge for yourselves which way you are going by seeing how far your mind and senses are coming under your conscious control. This is achieved not only by ethical living, but also by the inner help and strength you get every time you sit for your meditations. So if no apparent inner headway is achieved, know it for sure that the ground is being watered. Every time you sit, you are creating a habit which one day the mind will accept as in its best interest, as opposed to its present habit of seeking enjoyment in outer things. Habit strengthens into nature, and this is the reason for the present difficulties experienced by the dear ones in their routine meditations. The habit of the mind is running after outside enjoyments has become natural to it. Therefore, it resents sitting in the quiet. By creating a new habit, you will in time change the nature of the mind from one seeking pleasure in things external to one thirsting for the bliss and sweetness to be had from the things internal. Retarding factors. The divulging of inner experiences to others, except the master or more advanced disciples, affects one adversely and retards the inner progress. It has a significance. A rich man would like to control his hard-earned riches, lest it be noticed by others, who would become jealous of him. Similarly, the spiritual treasures achieved by the devotee need extra care and vigilance to be hidden from others, so that the same may remain safe and well guarded. Just as a sapling is eaten away by a passing goat, but when it has grown into a stalwart tree, an elephant cannot uproot it. Again, the adverse thoughts of others do affect the disciple. Moreover, others growing jealous will not be able to give him or her proper guidance. The laws of the physical plane demand that each must behave soberly and must not exhibit his or her extraordinary qualities which relate to higher planes. And as such, the disciplined devotee is required to cultivate tolerance and humility. You will see that one narrating his or her personal experiences many a time becomes elated, thus invites the ego to take the upper hand, and pride has its fall as a result. On these basic grounds, the saints made a law to be strictly observed by one and all, that the inner experiences must not be divulged except to the master, who is competent to give proper guidance on the way. Moreover, one should be very cautious to avoid falling into carnal enjoyments, as that darkens the inner vision. At the time of initiation, you would have been warned and clearly told about the things that tend to help the progress in meditation and the things that stand in the way and retard spiritual progress. They are recapitulated below for your guidance. disclosing inner experiences to anyone other than the Master. Neglect from, abstaining from, prohibited diets. That is, all meat, fish, fowl, eggs, or intoxicants. Gaps and defaults in any part of meditation retard the progress. You could not keep within yourself the new joy and beauty that the Master had given you and erred gravely in speaking about to the same. That is his word to the one who he was talking about, that he was giving inner direction to. And the reaction of the mind caused doubts to creep into your mind. Be rest assured, the Master is always with you from the time of initiation, seeing and reacting to everything that an initiate does. St. Luke said, "Take heed that the light which is within you is not darkened." So now again, with love and devotion, pray to the Master power within to open your way. He will listen. He is not away from you. Your meditations will again become sweet. Great opportunities will open up. Mind and the definition. Mind stuff is made of a highly rarefied matter of sattva, substance in the elements. Gossamer-like, it spreads in the body with tentacles deeply rooted in the senses, working through sense organs. Its base also goes very far, rooted as it is in the universal or cosmic mind, chid akash. It serves as a link between the material body and the conscious spirit or soul in the body, which is enlivening both the mind and the body. Like fire, it is a good servant, but a bad master. So long as the soul is in the mind zone, it is a prisoner. It is engulfed by the mind and is subject to it and has to obey the dictates of the mind. The mind and the soul, combined in their turn, are locked up in forms, causal, astral, and physical, successively. The mind feels shy of going in and coming in touch with the sound current, for there it loses its identity and freedom. Instead, it is prepared to go to the extent of sitting in trenches in the face of bullets to win a bottom victory, or will gladly face the risks of crossing the Atlantic to gain a name or establish a record. What constitutes desire? All conceptions in the mind are desires. At present, the mind desires those things it cannot get, while it realizes the truth, the whole of nature will be at its beck and call when it realizes the truth. Mind is nothing but a storehouse of karmic impressions coming down from the beginning of time in an endless series of incarnations. The body cannot but perform karmas, and karmas fashion the body and all that is of the body and bodily relations. The entire world is a play of karmic impressions stored in the mind by the people of the world. This is why the world is termed as manomai-shishti, or creation of the mind. The mind by itself is not conscious. It is the consciousness of the soul that the mind reflects. Anyone whose soul is under the mind's influence and control becomes an image of the mind, for he forgets his true self. We call this ego, or I-hood, for one thinks, I am everything. God plus mind is man, and man minus mind is God. And there we come to the close of our reading. And in closing, we express our gratitude to you, our dear Savior, for the spiritual elixir you impart to us. Guru Shabd Anami.
Thank you, Tanya, for the wonderful reading. Excuse me a minute, I'll do a count. Today we had 69 people at the satsang. Thank you, everybody, for attending. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now please hang up your phone.